The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
It's good Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Bobby Marks today. I was able to catch up with Bobby and chop it up on the Suns. Bobby is the NBA front office insider with ESPN. He is a capologist guy. So when we say, oh, that'd be great to trade KD for this, or is Devin Booker even tradable at this contract? And Bobby's the guy. Bobby is the dude. And we'll have Bobby Marks with us. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. We do appreciate their support. I was at the Fiesta Summit yesterday about college football playoff. This is the college football playoff is really interesting to me. And you may be thinking, Brad, it's May. Yeah, this is when stuff happens and stuff is laid out. And I'll get over to that in a minute and what I went through. Wilner was there, so went to dinner last night. John, man, he is an expensive date, I must tell you. So when you guys see Wilner here, just think he is a, well, I'll tell you what he ordered. That's here momentarily. The Suns, let's just start there. I did not go yesterday. Spurge from our team went. I felt as though, if you're going to announce your coach has been fired, that would have been leaked. There was nothing there. And I kind of had a feeling that this was going to be a minor bleep show. And I thought it was. I watched it back. It's a 25-minute address by Matt Ishbia that all is well, all is well. You know, in this town, when the Suns, who are easily the most identifiable team in the Valley, when the Suns get swept in the first round and you come out and you say there's no fire here and you blame the media for saying, oh, there's a fire here. okay, that's not really going to play well here. And if anybody's playing well on it, they're getting their check signed by the Suns in one way, shape, form, or another. Could you make the argument? I'm just going to take Matt's side for a minute. This is the owner of the team. I've covered owners for 40 years. Unfortunately, I had to start with Donald Sterling in San Diego. So I already got the bottom of the barrel. I have no idea where Matt is. But when I saw yesterday's press conference, not press conference. When you send a press release out to us, it says, we are going to give you some news. Okay, that is why we're saying you need to come. Not, well, we're going to just lay out our side of the street. That's not news, okay? How about call it just an availability? If you want to talk to Matt, Matt's going to get up on the, and James and get up on the podium. And, you know, the questions about having a point guard, not having a point guard, well, we aren't sure about not having the ball in Devin's hands or Bradley's hands or Kevin's hands too much. And I'm hearing this and it's, that just doesn't really work. We saw that it just doesn't work. Okay. Not the, well, we needed more time together and any of that stuff. So I'm watching this yesterday. And I guess if you're a fan of the Suns and you just think everything is great, that you can just turn the page on being swept, knock yourself out. I can't do that. You know, I look at it right down the middle and say, there's no way that as an owner, you should come out and say things aren't burning. I want you to lean in and say, I'm really pissed. And I've taken a couple of days and I don't want to overreact. I'm not going to give you a status update on Frank. We have to look at everything. I like Frank. I believe in Frank. We'll see. You could parse through the language if you want. So that's what we do today. So by the weekend, okay, is it by the weekend that you have to determine if Frank is the guy or not the guy? Now, Bobby Marks, we're going to talk about some key dates, and a key date is July 8th. I'll leave it at that. I taped this with Bobby earlier with Kevin Durant and his future in Phoenix, July 8th. And he'll explain why. That comes up in a few minutes. To better news. So I got asked to come to the college football playoff committee availability yesterday. It's a Fiesta Summit. And a friend of mine said, you should come to this. It used to be known as the Fiesta Frolic. They changed the name of it. I sat in on a couple of panel discussions yesterday. I did ask one question, just why is it that Phoenix has not been granted and when will Phoenix be granted? Actually, I didn't say why. I wondered why. My direct question to Bill Hancock with the College Football Playoff is, it's been 9 years since we've had a champ game here in Phoenix. What does it take to get the champ game back here? Because I am one of those that advocates. I am one of those that doesn't want to lose stuff. And you watch, Vegas is going to get one of these games. It just slowly takes things away. But it was really interesting to hear Brett Yermark. He's the new commissioner of the Big 12. If you're an ASU or U of A fan, or you know any of these schools are going into the Big 12, and you're wondering about the guy who's your leader. He sat on the stage yesterday, and I found him to be very much like, I am going to take a jackhammer between your eyes if you don't agree with me, and I am a win guy. That's Brett Yermark. He has a really good basketball conference. He doesn't have a very good football conference, in my opinion. Football is what drives the bus. I'm there yesterday for the College Football Playoff Committee. They're talking about things like, if you were to go all the way through the championship game, it's 17 weeks of games for a college student. 17 weeks. Matt Rhule was on stage, the head coach at Nebraska. He was there because the Big 12 had their coaches meeting, so they asked him to come in. And he was talking about how you've got to have more depth than ever. And I heard all of this, and I'm thinking back to, okay, Arizona, that's a team that I think could compete this year. Kenny's trying to build it over at ASU. They're not going to be in a position to win a Big 12 title this year, in my opinion. We're rolling on this. Jared Ironman can take this back and say, boy, Brad, were you stupid here? And it's fine. So I'm hearing all of them talk about the depth of it. It was moderated by Heather Dinich, who does a nice job over at ESPN. And Bill Hancock, I spoke with him afterwards a little bit. I would say to you that the College Football Playoff this fall, as much as you may be an NFL guy, I'm a college football guy because when I've been at games and I'm down on the field and the band comes out, and the alums are introduced, and it's a celebration, and it's primarily in other cities. That hasn't happened here in Tempe much at all in the last 7-8 years. When you go to a college stadium and it's packed and it's a beautiful day and the stadium's in great shape and everybody's happy to be there, college football is pretty darn good. So I really enjoyed the 3 hours there. Better than that, I went to dinner afterwards with Wilner. So Wilner is pretty simple. Wilner, and I may bust his chops on Monday's show. John's great, though. You see everybody wants to come over and get a piece of John Wilner. Because John Wilner's here. Oh, my gosh. And so we went to a little place, met up with the great Andy Bagnato, who covered college football. And right around the corner from the – we're up in Scottsdale at the Hyatt. And Wilner orders – what was it? A Diet Coke – and he ordered a hamburger. He just wanted a hamburger. That's all he wanted. And John is an old school reporter. That's what I like about him. He is going to get down and dirty. There are maybe 3 media people there yesterday, including myself, which is embarrassing. Everybody had to run over to the Super Sons to hear a non-press conference press conference, and then no cameras came up. And that's why I got out of that business, because it's like, guys, this is a pretty big deal over here too. Hello. So he ordered a hamburger, and he had his gear with him. He just shows up. He's got his backpack. He's got his stuff to write. I offered to give him a ride over so we'd have to lift. Took him to dinner, and then afterwards took him to his hotel. I could walk to the hotel, Brad. It's just very humble, very meager. I like that about John because he's so damn good at what he does and delivers nationally. So it was a very enjoyable night, if you couldn't tell. I saw where Arizona State landed a transfer quarterback. I thought that Kenny might make a run at Brock Huard's nephew, Sam Huard, who just went in the portal up at Cal Poly. That would have been a good fit, in my opinion. They'd take Jeff Sims, who was at Nebraska. Before that, he was at Georgia Tech. That's going to be the thing about recruiting now. Whenever we say this player is showing up at ASU, more likely than not, they've already had a stop or two elsewhere. And they just try to increase their NIL or look for a chance to play right away. So it was a very good day all in all, and got home and watched Jordan Montgomery get shelled, and I'm not that concerned about it with the Diamondbacks. Six earned runs, three innings, two home runs. He didn't have a spring training, didn't look very good, warmed up the day before. Diamondbacks get rocked, play the Dodgers again later this year. Let's just see where things are. That was not a good 2 of 3. It just wasn't. For two of those games, they weren't even competitive, in my opinion. And they have the Padres here on Friday. All right, up next, Bobby Marks, and then we continue to roll on. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, as promised, I can sit here all day and night seeing the sun since 1993 and try to explain away what's going on, but I'm not nearly as smart as Bobby Marks is, the front office insider for the NBA with ESPN for a couple of minutes. Bobby can break this stuff down because when I say to fans second apron, they're like, what? Kitchen apron? No, this is not fantasy basketball where if you just trade KD and get 10 picks back, everything is solved. So wanted to have Bobby on for a couple of minutes. Thank you for joining us. How do you fix this? Okay, I'm just going to throw it up there. How do you fix this, Bobby?
Yeah, I mean, listen, you basically have one or two options. You can go the easy option, which would probably be firing your head coach, which would be Frank Vogel, and going out and searching for the next head coach. So it would be the second time in 2 years, thinking that coach could fix what you have. Or you do an about face with the current roster and you look to add trade suitors, whether it be Kevin Durant or Devin Booker. I don't think the Bradley Beal contract is movable. He's got $160 million left. Still has that no trade clause, which is a killer. But when you like go through the tea leaves, you know, it's hard, especially when you're a new owner and you're a billionaire owner, to admit mistakes as far as how you've constructed the roster. So that's kind of your options. You mentioned the second apron and where Phoenix is financially. Largest payroll in NBA history entering the offseason. These new apron restrictions that come with this new collective bargaining started a couple weeks ago, where Phoenix doesn't have the ability to send out Yusuf Nurkic and Nasir Little's contracts. You can't aggregate contracts. You can't go out and take back more money in a trade. We saw that in the Beal trade with Chris Paul. They were able to take back more money. That is not allowed under these new rules. You're not allowed to send cash out in a trade. So Phoenix is limited as far as where they are. I think where you're going to see is, and Phoenix fans are going to be like, oh my God, we just paid $55 million in additional luxury tax penalties. I think you'll probably see them try to bring back Royce O'Neal, which comes at a significant penalty. And that's the big question I had is ownership willing to kind of continually doubling down on this current roster? And unless you're going to make a coaching change, that is really kind of the option that you do have.
Okay, so let's go through the big three. Well, you mentioned Beal, and I guess I have to go back to last year when this deal was coming down because they knew the second apron was coming, management did. So they just said, you know what, we're going to go all in and we're going to figure this out. That's how it feels and looks. That this was really reckless, Bobby. I don't know how else to put it with Bradley Beal's contract.
So here's a good way to look at it. And you could say this with Milwaukee too, and even the Clippers, teams that were facing this financial crunch coming this offseason where the league basically said, we're going to give you a year to get your finances in order before these harsh restrictions are going to. You have one or two choices. You can do that, or I always say it's like going to the buffet, right? If the buffet closes at midnight and you get there at 11:50, you're going to try to eat as much food as you're going to, and you're probably going to get a stomach ache. And that's what Phoenix did, was they knew that these new apron rules were going to start on April 15th. They said, all right, we've got 8 months to go out and aggregate contracts, to go out and take back more money, to go out and use our trade exceptions here, because that Bradley Beal trade, if we're talking right now, if this was a last offseason and the rules were in place, that Bradley Beal trade doesn't happen. But because they had that 8 month window to go out and do it, they went out and took back that big contract. And I understood the logic of it. I understood why, because Chris Paul, was going to be, you're probably going to waive him because of that partially guaranteed contract. Can you flip him for something else? I get that part of it. The part that I do not get is why the no trade clause was not amended in the deal, because that could have been removed. And now you would have had a little bit more flexibility to maybe go out and try to move that contract. But I dealt with it in Brooklyn when we traded for Kevin Garnett. The no trade comes with you. Like, it's like the never ending gift. And I think that makes it a more challenge. But yeah, I mean, it was basically sink or swim, right? Like, they knew what was the consequences were going to be. And now they have, now you have to kind of live with it.
If you're talking about bad contracts,
it's the worst one. It's the worst one in NBA. It's the most, and it's really nothing to do with Bradley Beal is a good player. Like, sure. Bradley Beal, but he's not a $50 million plus contract. It's the worst contract in the NBA right now. That's where it's at.
Okay, Devin Booker. Booker, do you get out from under Devin Booker? No player starts and finishes with the same team in pro sports usually. What do you make of it? Devin Booker's name.
Yeah, unless someone's going to come in and offer the house. He's got, you know, year one of the Supermax is starting this offseason, 4 for $221. He's still a heck of a player. I mean, he really is. I mean, I think, you know, there's no reason why you need to look at, you know, if you're going to do that, then you're in, and then you're stuck with Beal. I wouldn't move off Devin Booker. I think he's still good of a player. I think he's still young enough. I think the value of the contract is not going to be a dead end contract when we get to years 3 and 4.
Flip side of it, from his view, and you've been in this spot, a player looks around and says, you know what, I've done everything. And we've seen it out here in Phoenix. I've given everything. I'm still not viewed as an all-star. I'm not in LA. I'm not in New York. I get to the all-star game, but I'm never, and I've got a chip on my shoulder about that, because he does. Do players' times run out in a certain place, no matter how good they are? Dame Lillard would be a name.
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to. I mean, especially where they were and kind of where they are right now. When right. You look at going back to 21, losing to Milwaukee in the finals, the following year, having the best record in the NBA and losing to Dallas in a disheartening way. And that's the beauty and the beast of the playoffs, right? Like, the playoffs sometimes dictate how, you know, that knee-jerk reaction as far as what direction you want to go. You bring back the same roster after you lose to Dallas, and then you get to the trade deadline and you trade for Durant. Then you fire Monty. Then you go out and get Beal. And then you trade Ayton, and it kind of snowballs into all these different moves here. I don't think Devin Booker is there right yet as far as saying, you know what, I've had it. I mean, I did my best. I think you have to see where this roster goes going into next year. Is there a coaching change? Do some of the parts move? Do they do a better job with maybe their bench? But certainly a year from now, as we call it, transfer portal, right? It's the NBA transfer portal. Guys, free agency is really for those, the rotational guys. The transfer portal with the NBA is guys extend. And then eventually there'll become a time where you ask out of your contract.
That makes sense. Bobby Marks with us for a couple of minutes before I get you out of here. Kevin Durant seems to be, in our conversation, seems to be the most likely, if they're going to move off of players in this roster, the only way out, to get out of jail card.
I would keep an eye on July 8th. He's eligible to sign a one-year extension for $58 million. He's got 2 years left at a total of 105. Would Phoenix put that one-year extension on the table? Could still be traded even if he did sign that deal here. You know, they're certainly going to, as I call it, you know, the Sharks are going to be, you know, circling the Phoenix Suns boat. When you look at, there'll be teams like that will miss out in free agency. There'll be teams like Philadelphia that could miss out here. Does Philadelphia come to them? Phoenix say, hey, we'll give you whatever you want, draft picks. But what does draft picks do for Phoenix? What is draft picks when you have Booker and Beal still on your roster here? I think Kevin Durant is the odd man out if Kevin Durant wants to be the odd man out. But that follows a trend of leaving Golden State, going through with everything in Brooklyn, and now going through something with, you know, with certainly in Phoenix here.
The coaching situation, it feels and sounds, tomorrow there'll be a press conference, as you and I are sitting here talking, that this is the likely outcome is Frank Vogel's not here as head coach. As you're sitting there, is it his fault?
It usually never is, but I've been there. I sat in a Nets conference room in 2013, we had hired, PJ Carlissimo was our interim coach. PJ went like 39-15 during the regular season. And we lost to Chicago in a disheartening way in the first round. And usually you say, well, it's not the players we put together, right? It's got to be, you know, if we can change the coach, that coach can take us to the next level. And we made a coaching change literally the next day after we had lost to Chicago here. That's the only way that you can kind of, you know, there's no salary cap when it comes to your coaching staff. There's no trade rules. There's no, you know, they're a liability for better or for worse. I think ownership had a full year and a front seat to evaluate as far as what went wrong, what, you know, what could get better at. I think the big question would be, who's the guy then, right? Like, who's the next guy out there that would be able to come in here and make a difference? We don't have that name right now.
And they don't have a point guard right now. They don't have a big.
Well, that's the bit. Yeah. I mean, listen,
come on.
The point guard situation is a major, major issue. I think you saw it front seat, you know, off fourth quarter, right? Offensive efficiency, fourth quarter, mess down the stretch in the Minnesota game. You got to prioritize going out and getting a point guard. Is that in the draft? I don't know. Average at best draft. Is it in free agency? Bargain shopping? What can you turn maybe one of these contracts into? But that is certainly a priority for them.
If you could sum up, I'll let you off this. If you could sum up a few words on the Suns and their state, what would you say?
You know, I wrote last year and this was after they lost to Denver, and I think after Monty had gotten fired, that Phoenix is no closer to winning a championship. That was a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I would probably double down on that right now as far as saying the same thing, considering where Minnesota is, where Denver is, where Oklahoma City is, some of these teams that are up and coming. I think you've seen how they build their roster here, certainly with the limitations that Phoenix has going into the offseason.
I appreciate your time and insight. Great stuff. And, of course, people can find Bobby's content on ESPN.com. He does a great job. Thank you, Bobby.
I appreciate it. Thank you.